This is Tri-States Public Radio. I'm Emily Boyer, here with Tammy Lee Brown Edwards, who's running for alderman-at-large position with the Macomb City Council. And can you tell me a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for Macomb City Council?
Yes, I am a member of many organizations in Macomb, and I volunteer a lot. I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a community member. From day one when I moved to Macomb, I have hit the ground running to know places in Macomb, people in Macomb, get my feel around the county and the area. I used to just drive for hours, get a map from the Macomb Conventions Bureau, and I would just drive the county. And sometimes I got lost a couple of times, but eventually, you know, you just look at the sun and figure out what direction you're going to and try to make it back to Macomb. So I got to know a lot real quick by just driving around and meeting people and talking to people, driving out to Fandon and Bushnell and all the wild out areas, and just tell people, I'm from Macomb, and I just decided to see what your town is like. So I got to learn a lot really fast by just doing here.
And you originally came to Macomb to work for the newspaper, so I'm sure that also led to you learning a lot about the community.
Yes. I was able to come here as the editor of the Macomb Journal. My degree is in journalism. I graduated from Eastern Illinois University. But before graduating there, I worked for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I did an internship and also worked at the Aurora Beacon News for several years, and as well as working for my university paper at the Daily Eastern News at Eastern, which Eastern at that time was the only state university paper that had its own printing press. So you were able to be on the news side as well as the printing side and get to see everything be typeset. And we worked in the dark rooms and exposed our own photos. And so we got to do everything from scratch there. So that's how I came to Macomb, was becoming an editor.
And what year was that?
That was in 2002. I was engaged at that time. And my husband works for Department of Corrections. So there are 3 prisons in a 45-mile radius from Macomb, and so he put in his transfer to one of the 3. And unfortunately, it took almost 2 years for him to be transferred. I often talk to John Sullivan about that, because after year one, I saw John Sullivan, former state senator and now the director of agriculture for the state of Illinois. I approached him at a parade and I said, my husband is trying to get transferred. He's a state employee. Is there anything you can do about it? And he pulled out a piece of paper, and it was a hot parade day, and he wrote his name down. And I'm telling you, within 6 weeks, my husband got news that he was going to be transferred.
Wow.
And years later, I talked to Sullivan about that, and I said, I know you probably didn't do anything, but my husband got transferred after I spoke to you. He said, I made some calls, and I just knew the power of government then, that if you really talk to someone, they really will listen to you, and things can happen.
You've lived in Macomb for 17 years.
Yes.
Why did you decide to run for city council?
I was interested in city council because there's things that, well, with social media, you can see what other cities are doing, and cities of your size compared to your city, and the city of Macomb is a great asset to this region. And there's so much going on here, from the university. There's the arts, the theater. There's so many benefits of living here. And I feel that sometimes we rely on the university a lot, and the city could be possibly a tourist destination for the region and for the state, because we have so much going on. We can do more to boost the economy of the region. We're the largest city in our county, and a lot of people come to us to shop, and we can kind of keep them there to also stay for dining and for entertainment if we work together.
And so if elected, what would be your priorities for the office?
We would definitely need to. I spoke to Jock Headblade, who is the director of the Macomb Area Conventions and Visitors Bureau, and he has created some initiatives to bring tourist to make Macomb a tourist destination. And I believe that if we monopolize on that and worked with him to create things that bring people to Macomb, I think that would be one of my first endeavors. I've talked to community leaders, I've talked to business owners, and I've asked them what would they like to see Macomb do for them and what directions they want to see our city go in. And they've given me some great education on what they want to see. People have been here for, I've talked to a bar owner who's been here for a couple of decades, and he told me that Macomb and Western used to always work together, that you never saw a division. He said, and I really wish that we had that community again, and I would like to see the city work with Western more to provide things, to do more public events together. And I think that's absolutely possible to do as a city again.
So you're talking about somewhat in terms of the CVB becoming more of a tourist destination for Macomb?
Well, he's doing, he's the things that he's talked about is possibly creating a mural project and doing it throughout the county, but mostly in Macomb. We have had authors and community leaders and musicians that have come out of Macomb that we, if we did murals, that let's say if we had one for Al Sears, that people may come and see where, you know, this is where Al Sears came from, or for C.T. Vivian, you know, he's one of our living legacies here, that was born here and educated here. And if people knew that one of MLK's lieutenant was from here, he still owns property here, and now he has this mural the size of, you know, the side of a building, then maybe people would come and visit, and then they may spend the night and give us some hotel tax dollars, and they may eat a little bit and give us some more tax money that we can have in the city. And travel and buy gas. And so I think just having more traffic coming through Macomb will really help us economically.
And so as a member of the city council, you feel like you can play a role in making those types of things happen?
Absolutely. I think that right now we're just kind of trying to do more with less. And I think that if we used more ideas, different ideas to create industry, job creation, traffic throughout through our city, through our county, I think that will really be a better benefit to our city. We're losing population, and so we can't keep doing what we used to do.
And you're running for alderman at large.
I am. I'm the first woman to run for alderman at large, even though it is a pretty new position. It's only been around for less than 20 years.
Now, what ward do you live in?
I live in the 4th ward.
Okay, and that one is also up this spring for election. Why did you decide to run for alderman at large versus the 4th ward?
When I ran for county board, I can look at the numbers and see who was voting for me where, and it looked like I was receiving votes I received votes from my ward, but I also received votes outside of my ward as well. So I thought that if there were other people who would vote for me that really liked my ideas and supported me, then I probably should run for alderman at large, because I'll be able to serve Macomb in the greater sense of service.
And you did run for county board last fall.
I did.
Unsuccessfully.
Correct.
You've been trying to get your foot into the political arena here then for a little bit, interested really in serving in the county.
Yes. I'm about service. So if I'm not elected for anything, I'm still going to do the same things that I do. I'm still going to volunteer. I'm still going to be available to be an advocate for people who, you know, need a voice, who need a direction, who wants to be connected with services, or, you know, if they need to know where WIRC is, or who provides with free legal counsel, or anything that I feel like I can provide answers to questions people have. And just being on the city council may be able to open more doors for me to provide more help for more people. But without the council, I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to help people. I'm still going to be out there. I will show up to the opening of an envelope, to the cutting of a ribbon, to a fish fry, a spaghetti dinner, an ice cream social. I like people, and I like to help people, and I'm still going to do that.
Speaking of showing up, I cover Macomb City Council. Not many people go to sit in the audience. I have noticed that you've been there for the last several weeks.
Yes.
Why is that?
I've encouraged people before I started showing up more regularly to be a part of government. That, unfortunately, coming from the reporter side of journalism, most people, when I was in journalism, got their news from the newspaper. And a lot of information is still in the newspaper, but the readership has gone down. So people are saying that they're not able to know what's going on at city council. So I've encouraged people, you need to just go and show up and find out what's going on and talk to your alderman. Right on everyone's placard tells you what ward they represent. You can speak to them. Everyone's very friendly and kind. Everyone, if you go to the Macomb website, it has their email, it has their phone number to contact them. So I think just being there, sometimes it's better than reading or hearing about it, that you can see government at work. You can see who's making decisions. You can see the questions that aldermen have. If there was a, just like last night, there was a budget concern, and you can see which aldermen were concerned about the budget, and you can see the other aldermen that weren't. So you're able to see government at work right there in real time.
And have you noticed anything interesting from those meetings, or are you hoping that maybe observing these will lessen any sort of learning curve that you would have if elected?
It appears a lot of things happen in committee, and the end results end up at the city council meeting or the committee of the whole. And so I think I would like more transparency if I was on the board, that if you go to other city council, if you go to other city websites, like let's say for Monmouth for once, you know, they have photos of all of their aldermen at large is there, and you can click on them and find out, you know, what they voted on and what they're interested in and their backgrounds in history. You also can go to several websites throughout the nation and see the proclamations that the mayors or the cities have issued. We don't have that. So, you know, I was at the Gwendolyn Brooks Center Gala, the 50th year gala, on Saturday, and the Mayor Inman of Macomb said a proclamation. Now, I've been to a lot of events that the mayor has read proclamations, but there is not one database on the city website to tell you, you know, the mayor has made, you know, Mickey Mouse Day in March, but we don't know what day that happens again. So I think that transparency as well of, you know, knowing what the city council does, know the mayor's responsibilities. Sometimes some cities have the mayor's calendars listed of, you know, he's showing up to a DARE program. The city council, a city council member is showing up to greet kids for the first day of school. They're going to the Veterans Pancake Dinner. Like, I think to know what your council people are doing that you voted for, to know what the mayor is doing, to know what they're voting on, to see the minutes uploaded in real time on the website, to see the videos accessible that you can find them instead of having to, you know, be on the schedule, to be in TV, be in front of your television at that time when it's being aired, instead of it being, you know, fed live, or be able to go online and search what happened on, you know, March 14th. I think all those things should be accessible to the constituents in the city of Macomb. And I also think that having that capability helps parents choose if they want to send their children here to Western. To know what a city is doing and how they handle things is a great benefit to people who want to move here or want to move their children here or want to spend time here or work here.
Along those lines, have you thought of a plan of how you would address transparency and gathering feedback from the city if elected?
A couple years ago, I took the Macomb Police Department Citizen Police Academy training. And it was several weeks of and several hours sitting with officers of different departments and learning more about what they did. And in that training, I partnered with a Macomb police officer. And since then, he and I have created content for the Macomb police Facebook page. So for a long time, I would send him information from another police department and say, you know, can we do this? And he was like, I think that's a great idea. And so he would post those things to Facebook and put a Macomb spin on it. And I think it's absolutely tragic that the Macomb Police Department provides more information on what's going on in Macomb than the Macomb city does. That there's, and I think they've gone above and beyond their probably their job descriptions of, you know, telling us about snowplow, street closures, fires, that the city probably should, you know, kind of take the helm of that. And also in having the conversation with him is that the police officer that I'm talking about, that I initiated the Safe Place Exchange spot at the police station. And that was another idea that I threw at him.
And that's where you can buy something online, and instead of having to meet in an abandoned parking lot, yes, or at someone's home, you can do it in the police station,
right,
parking lot.
So you can either purchase something at that spot, or, you know, drop off children if you have a custody exchange program. And that spot is well lit, and it's also under camera surveillance. And that was an idea that I brought to him that I saw another police department had implemented at their station in their town. And he thought that was a great idea, so I'm going to take it to the chief. And then a couple weeks later, he was like, we have a sign, and we're going to get it installed. And it's gotten several thousand hits from people looking at that site on Facebook and, you know, complimenting the police department for being a safe space, because people buy things online and you don't know if there's going to be a shady dealing there. But people kind of, you know, act differently at the police station. So I think that I've already showed leadership in the sense that if I have a question or if I have an idea, I can get it to someone who possibly could implement that. And I think I could do the same thing on the city council level.
Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I appreciate you taking your time and interviewing me. I brought something that I wanted to show you. And my grandmother passed away a couple of months ago. And in her basement, I found an envelope, a sealed envelope from a county office in Arkansas. And I opened it up. And it's my great-grandmother and great-grandfather's poll tax. They paid $1 to vote in August of 1960, of 1956, 1954, and I got a couple other years of the time before African Americans received the right to vote. And my great-grandmother was a granddaughter of a slave. And so I carry this because to know that the granddaughter of a slave paid money to have the right to vote, to possibly not be able to vote, but still wanted to cast a ballot, to now being the great grandchild of that woman to run and asking people for their vote, it's not wasted on me. So I wanted to show you that.
It's a very cool piece of history.
Thank you.
Have you already voted this spring?
I have voted this spring.
Voted early.
Actually, I was the first person to vote at the county courthouse. I was there the day of first day of early voting started. And actually, the ladies weren't even ready for me, so I had to wait a few minutes. So I was very proud to be the first person to vote for early voting.